Use my mic.
Either one, whatever you
Hello.
prefer.
Can people in Zoom hear me?
Yes.
Let's. Awesome.
So we're really lucky to have Corey to join us again. And it sounds like he's at this transition phase in his career where he's moving from being a researcher at
Oh,
Harvard.
I'm still there.
Are you still there?
I'm still there. I'm gonna be there for
To being a
the.
research scientist at a new startup called Prior Computers. So it's really exciting to see startup activity in the Boston area. And I know that Prior is going to be about making very human-like AI, but what Corey's been expert in is in studying sort of the geometry of representations in context reasoning and other complicated types of logic in LLMs. And so we're looking forward to hearing about his latest work here
Awesome.
today. Thanks,
Well,
Corey.
okay. Well, thank you very much for the introduction. So they'll be talking about like where do these representations come from? We talk a lot about like representations in neural networks, but then like if it's time, maybe you should also wonder like where do they come from? Like what's expected? What's kind of unexpected? So I kind of started to talk with. This was a big question. I say I don't know if it's still a big question. If do LLMs have world models? And then I don't know. I think it's a vague question. And then I think a lot of the debate has, like, I'm sure probably most of you know this paper, where you train a transformer on Othello, just the sequences output. And then in the model internal, like the internal representation, you can read out the state. You can even do some causal interventions. Like, that's cool. And we also see some results like LLMs, if you just like feed them in like landmark names and read out the vectors, and then sort of try to linear probe for some geometry of longitude latitude. You can read that out. Recently, Goodfire also had this nice post where you can take a DNA model trained auto-regressively, I think. Like, I think masked autoencoder, actually. So, mask language modeling, I think. So, you take a DNA model, and then from the internal representations, you can kind of read out the phylogenetic tree. So, these deep neural networks trained on a lot of data, like represent some latent variable of the data generation process. And kind of one question is like, when this post came out, like, it was like, is this surprising or do we actually expect this at this point? At this point, do we expect neural networks trained on vast amounts of data to just kind of obviously represent almost all features we know about data? Maybe is that obvious or is it still surprising? And I guess like, myself, I didn't have a good answer to this question. So, first question raised here is what are the origins of like these world representations? Like where do they come from? And the second one is goalposts should always move in AI and LLMs, we need to put a word there, adaptive world. So, what's an adaptive world model? So, now we know that chess, there's like superhuman chess playing algorithms out there, and I think you can actually train them in within a day or something. And one thing is that one way to beat these chess algorithms is at inference time, right before you play, you suddenly introduce a rule. Today, your bishop moves like horse and your horse moves like a bishop. And then suddenly humans generalize better. Humans are better at this. And in fact, it's a little bit like even ill-defined how exactly to give this to like alpha chess because like they're encoded with these representations already fixed in. So it's a little bit even unclear what to do there. Maybe there's some, maybe interpretability can do something there actually. I don't know. So anyways, adaptive world models. So the rules of the world changed. The world changed. Can you adapt whatever you know? Can you adapt your representation? For humans, maybe you just need to swap some kind of in your brain representation of bishop and knight and kind of try to apply the rest of the strategy. So can you adapt to a world change given right at inference time? And I think like people have been trying to study this. And I think like the classic example, this is studied in your lab, right? Like, the Eiffel Tower is in Paris, and you kind of want to move to Rome. And I think my kind of like personal thing about this is that, like, I think there's always this problem of how much do you propagate it? Like, do you now make this guy's name Gustavo Eiffel? Like, give him his little mustache there. Or, yeah.
Careful, we have an Italian in the room here.
Oh, that's all right. Okay, who is
That's
it?
me.
Okay, we're the Guy de Maupassant. So this is a guy who, like, you see, eats in the Eiffel Tower because he doesn't want to see the Eiffel Tower. Like, where does this guy eat lunch? Is this guy like French, Italian now, actually? So some of these propagations are a little bit ill-defined. So this was a motivation why this is a small study we did where we kind of defined these sets of new stuff, which are hypothetical and not in the training data because it just comes out of us right now. And but counterfactual, but not counterfactual actually. It doesn't actually like break any knowledge you already have. So say mathematicians defined adiplication of x and y as x plus y times y. Can you use this new information, this new concept, to solve a problem which requires this operation? And I think like most humans can do very well. So we curated these kind of data sets where there's like a new mathematical definition. For example, like I'm sure most of you have seen encountered this bug where NumPy doesn't accept like axis. NumPy doesn't accept dim, sorry. PyTorch uses dim, NumPy uses axis. So maybe they allow an update to kind of allow that alias. So when these updates happen, like you constantly adapt to the world. And can a model adapt to these kind of new informations? And what we find is that models are actually pretty good at this if you give the new word in context. You can kind of expect them now, language models, I'm sure you all talk to them, and then of course they can just give this like counterfactuals, these like hypotheticals, and then they can reason on top of them. But one thing which happens if you fine-tune on them is that if you fine-tune on these new facts, it integrates much less. So here actually what the accuracy we're measuring is that we're asking downstream questions. Like of the fact, like propagated downstream. And then if you fine-tune, the models are actually much worse at integrating any of the knowledge and propagating them well downstream in their weights. So of course, like here's one criticism is that like we're literally doing one sentence fine-tuning on like the number of rows in the data set is one, and nobody in deep learning does that. So of course you should augment the data set. So this is our best method. We try to augment the data set by saying we can't add additional information. We try to be fair. What we do is like we use the model to self-augment the data. So this is a common technique, which is discussed in many papers. You give the fact in context, you generate like you just ask the model to generate QA pairs, and then you take those QA pairs, train the model without the fact, needs to now answer the QA pair without the fact, so it must somehow integrate it into the weights. That does a little bit better, but there's like a significant gap. And I think like more than what the accuracy says, like we try to, vibe check the model. It doesn't feel like the model knows that application.
Just a quick question. The ICR, is it just the thing you're putting in context is just the description of the rule, or are you also giving examples?
No, just
Just
the
the
fact.
description.
Yes, just the fact.
Just that we moved the Eiffel Tower to Paris or to
Yeah,
Rome.
for example, except that I think that's still counterfactual, even if you put it in
Oh,
context.
is it right. Non-contractual?
Yeah, so these things are new definitions,
Okay.
so that which are reasonable, the model like kind of can like
And
generalize. There's like an answer to how you should
you
generalize.
got it. And for fine-tuning, is it like very localized, like a specific MLP, or is it like many layers?
So here it's many layers, and then actually, yes, we did read that paper, mechanistic, like what is it? Unlearning. So should he try to localize and edit those weights? We didn't try that. Yeah. Well, we tried data augmentation. Maybe this does something like that. I don't know. And the question two here is, it seems like even with all of this, it seems like it's brittle. Like fine-tuning does not trigger the right updates. It just seems like gradient descent on like a small amount of data still compared to the whole pre-training corpus, still very brittle to trigger the right updates. So this is the second research question, and actually they do seem a little bit separate. What are the origins of world representations? And research question two is why does fine-tuning not trigger the right updates? So this is the lab I come from, and we have like a lot of like tradition almost of building modal systems. So what we do is like when we see like a phenomena where here we ask like a image model to generate a blue square apple. So that's like compositional generalization, generating something which is not in this world, but which uses concepts and combine them in new combinations. We develop like modal systems and generate findings. This is kind of our general approach. So I'm going to try to follow this to ask this kind of methodology to ask, like, answer these two questions today. And so in our lab, we all often do this stuff where, like, we perturb the data, we do something on the data, train a model, and then see how the model changes. But today, I think we need a new abstraction because, like, the data is kind of like before we used to just write scripts to actually just generate the data itself. But now we kind of like even modularize it further so that there's a definition of a world where things happen, like scientists deciding to kicking out Pluto. And then there's data somehow that goes to the internet. There's a process which moves things, events which happens in the world into the internet. Pluto, blah, 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 or planets now, blah, blah, blah. Something happens in the world. It gets moved into the data, and that's what we kind of trained our models on. So we kind of needed an additional abstraction layer. So here's what we did. So we first defined our world is gonna be the coordinates of entities and cities in the world. So we're just borrowing the list of cities in the world, filtering them by some population threshold. And I actually did this instead of like taking our kind of classic, like nice Gaussian pure uniform data, because it actually had like a bunch of interesting properties. Like most of the cities are actually in India and China. And then like there's like these sparse regions in the data. So I actually like the fact that it had these like interesting aspects of real data. So, and also I ignored all geometry and just like flattened it out to x, y coordinates. Just like take the longitude, latitude, and treat it as x, y because we're only borrowing the data. I'm not trying to do any geography here. So I'm going to define that this is a world. Okay, this is a world. My world is basically a bunch of cities with x, y coordinates. And they have like their own names. And I'm going to define the data generation process on top of it as geometric operations. So here there's seven tasks. So one is just measuring the distance between two cities. So distance between city one, city two is some distance. Second is triangle area. So you need to measure the area of a triangle. You need to measure the angle between three cities, or you need to point towards which compass direction out of eight directions, like a second city is compared to the first. And this task is like you give a polygon and a city, and you need to determine whether the city is inside or not. There's another task parameter. You need to measure the perimeter of the polygon. And then there's finally another task where you take two segments and determine whether they intersect or not. So these are just like seven geometric tasks, like not sampled in any specific way. It's just like came out of like me talking with AI and also trying to make it, I tried to like make it diverse enough, like. But okay, but actually there's a property of all these tasks is that as soon as you give the world, these task definitions will not change. So these tasks are geometric tasks, will not change. You can plug in any world and it's going to generate some data out of it. So now you're able to come like you're able to define a world update. And then you have a process which defines how that should update the data. And one property of all these tasks here is that we'll see later, even if you add any city to the world, say you add a city which wasn't there in the world, so that's kind of a world update. It's kind of a new entity, new concept. You add a new city, none of the answers changes. So in fact, we could also define processes where you add new cities and the world changes consistently. For example, like count the number of cities within a certain radius from a city. So that one is, for example, a rule where you add a city and then the answer changes consistently. But before that, we wanted to really go to the easiest thing where you add a city, the added city will make more data, but like it won't affect any of the existing data. Okay, is this setup kind of clear? Okay. This is some this is a dirty slide, but I think it's actually one of the most important slide is how did I actually set up the details? So I actually tokenized in the dirty way because I think, as we said about tokenization, I think we do it in a dirty way in natural language. So I actually like cut it in a dirty way where I don't actually give one token per city. I actually make them numerical. So these are like 0, 1, 3, 8, or something like that. The ID is actually split it in this weird way where you take a number and you just like slice all the digits. And then it needs to output like an answer, like an angle between these cities. And that's also like split, not in a nice numerical embedding, but also like in this dirty way where you take like a number 220 and cut it into 220. So the model has to figure out some arithmetic stuff internally. And we're going to be talking about representations. So I'm going to read out the representations by taking up this kind of prefix. And then I'm going to take the last token of the city and then the comma and then concatenate those representations. And that's kind of going to be the city representation that I'm going to be taking. Any questions about this actually? Yep.
What kind of model are you training?
Oh, I'm training a transformer, autoregressive standard decoder on the
From the
transformer
scratch.
from scratch. Yes.
And is there a fixed dictionary of cities you have?
Yes, so the dictionary of cities is each dot there is a city. Each one has ID, C something 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 ID, and it's like split into this like the vocabulary of the modal is just alphabets and numbers and these special a few special tokens there.
So it's 10,000 points on a plane, or maybe on a,
It's
or
five
maybe
thousand.
5,000. Oh,
5,000.
I thought it's about 9,000 on there.
Oh,
So
did I say something about oh.
69,000.
Oh,
That's
so okay, there's a reason that I didn't make them like linear to 1, 2. So there's actually like up to 9999. I allowed like all 4-digit numbers and randomly sampled there
Oh,
because
okay.
later we're gonna add some cities. Yeah.
Oh,
So
see.
to make room for to not make a distribution shift between what we add later and what we add.
Out of
So yeah.
curiosity, did you put them on a sphere or is it just on a plane?
No, I intentionally did it on a plane because I want to do a linear probe analysis. If I do a sphere, I need to do this, yeah, linear probe, and there's a discontinuity, so yeah.
Did the size of your model matter?
Not so it mattered in qualitative sense. It mattered in senses which might actually be more interesting for practitioners because there are some interesting dynamics about how like earlier layers stop propagating representational changes. So actually, I think that is actually interesting in a practical point of view, but it didn't matter for the point of the main point I'm gonna raise.
What do you concatenate? I mean, is it across layers
What do
or
I? Oh, yeah. So I take the residual representation of the last token of the city ID and then the comma, and then I concatenated them. So I just did that because I want to make sure it's there. But actually, I think there's one experiment where I did where I just take the last like ID and
what is the last layer,
it
though,
just
for
worked.
example?
I take it at different layers,
Oh, okay, so different layers.
but layer before the last layer, I just took that. Yeah.
And for the last city before the parentheses, you take also the parentheses.
For the last city.
Yeah. For example, C, Z, 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 Z.
Oh, so actually, so what I'm interested in is after I train this, I'm just only interested in how the model trains. So I just use this template and swap the city to out.
Oh, I
Yeah,
see.
swap that city with the 5,000 cities to get out the
I
representation.
see, I see.
Any more questions? Because I think the setup part is actually pretty important to get everyone grounded.
You are training the model from scratch. So you could have just decided not to include these delimiters, right? The
Not
comma.
to include
Yeah,
BOSUS.
no, the
Or the
commas and the
comma and
parentheses.
the oh.
Because
So that
you're
model figures out everything based on positions? Yeah,
defining what an
could.
angle is.
Yep,
Like,
could
how would
have.
the model understand by the angle of it?
Yeah, exactly. Angle doesn't need to, it can be just
Any
A.
single bar.
It can be just A. Yeah.
Guess it's just easier.
I actually don't think the model cares whether I say angle or A. Yeah, but. That's it. You had a question?
No,
No? Okay. Okay, setup's good.
yeah.
Okay. Okay, so first question about world representation. So this is going to be about pre-training. So here, this early figure, I train only on the angle task. Okay, so the data only comes from the task where I do this angle kind of data. Ignore the all other tasks. So I think this is kind of standard. You see the loss going down. Training succeeds. Great. See like these induction head plateaus, stuff like that. You kind of like standard transformer stuff. And as you train more, you see that there's like clusters emerging of different cities. And you can actually see that if you PCA project out all the representation of the 5,000 cities, that already like clusters all the cities by kind of some geographic location where close things are clustered close. And then you can do a linear readout of the city coordinates. So we actually almost like reproduced but from scratch, like the West Gurney and Max Tegmark's results, where in LLM they actually can extract out the city coordinates. But here synthetically, we can kind of like see similar things happen here. So great, world representations emerge through autoregressive training. At this point, I don't know if this is surprising. Okay, now I trained on different tests. Yeah.
Why is the readout 3D? Sorry.
Why is the readout? Oh, 3D. It's doesn't need to be. It's 2D actually. It's 2D. I'm just showing another the remaining residual principal component direction for no reason. Then I plotted everything in 3D and then I just rotated in the best in the XY plane. Yeah. So the readout is yeah, the two coordinates you're seeing is indeed just XY readout.
Which layer are you taking?
Fifth layer. Yep. So this is a six layer transformer, and I'm taking it out after the fifth layer. Yep. So you see representations of world emerge, and you can read out linearly some coordinates. Yep.
Position there.
The position. Oh, position error. Yeah. So this is just the metric that can you set some cities in real in like in actuality, like I said, like 3,500 cities for a training set to regress towards X and Y. And then does that probe generalize to like does that probe generalize? Here actually it's R square, but basically you can quantify also MSE distance that also just goes down. You can actually like use this probe to the probe generalizes to other cities. That's
So
it.
this is like a regression probe. So is this a
Yes,
linear regression
yes,
probe? So you train a
yes.
regression probe on a few thousand
Exactly.
cities and then you test it on
Yep,
another thousand. I
exactly.
see.
Yes. And then you can predict, oh, this is just the error on the task. The model actually performs the task, the angle error goes down. And then actually like you actually do also get this like yes, regression. So here I don't think R square is actually a good metric. I should have shown the what is it, the distance going down, but yeah. But anyways, like it kind of not that surprising you can read out linear coordinates out of that. So okay. So things work. And now you're gonna train on different tasks. So here, the first one, distance, angle, compass, inside. And they kind of give you different representations where it kind of it matches that like the inside task is a true false task. So you just need to determine whether a city is in a polygon or not. So maybe that's why it's giving like these a little bit fuzzy coordinates. And then if you have more precise kind of tasks, which is like you actually need to get the angle exactly out, you get these more sharp representations. One thing is that the PCAs all look quite different. The PCAs all look quite different. So this which data generation process you use will actually kind of like shape some kind of geometry in your internals. And no matter what, you can kind of still always read out the linear probe. For the inside task, it's a little bit more fuzzy, but you can always kind of like read out the linear probe. But then the residual directions for the different tasks looks all quite different. So we're gonna quantify this.
Can you,
Yep.
what's the third row here?
Third row. A third row is just rotating because here, just as before, I'm just showing the XY projection of the 3D PCA. So I'm just showing you some other direction. So this is the same, it's the same 3D object. It's just rotated in some other direction. And I'm just showing you that like outside of the two linear readout probes, the dominant PCA just looks quite qualitatively different. Sometimes it's like collapsed on like a manifold, sometimes it's more fuzzy, sometimes there's like a separation of stuff. That happens. So yeah, this is how actually like the when the model trains, like these representations form. One thing interesting I found is that like the representations like form actually once here. The representation form exactly here, and then the global geometry is almost unchanged until the end of the training. So that's something I found and I'm actually kind of interested in because one hypothesis I'm running for is like whether modal representations is this thing which has a small window to form and then it kind of gets fixed in. Need to confirm
Do
that.
you like start all the trainings from the same seeds or?
No, I do multiple seeds. Wait, so all the initializations are same, but the data is different, so I think it's effectively not comparable anyways. But in the paper, I do multiple seeds.
Is there one epoch of your in the training?
No, it's multi-epoch.
Oh, okay. So do you know when in can you go back to the training loss?
Yep.
About, do you know approximately when in the
Let's
training?
see. So this is six epochs. So, and this is log. So,
Okay. Hard to see. Okay.
yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Yeah. So that's, you can see that representations form. And these are, I'm showing different tasks. And then they kind of form different kinds of representations. And we can quantify this. And there's this thing called CKA, which is you take two representations and you compute the distance matrix, something like the distance matrix, because you subtract the mean between all the points here, and make a big city by city matrix. And you make a city by city matrix on different representations and compare how those matrices themselves compare. So you do the CKA, and then you kind of get this thing where the distance task kind of hates everyone else. The inside task also kind of hates other things. The thing you're seeing on the crossing task is because that task just didn't train alone. So that one just doesn't train alone. It was this task where you need to figure out whether two segments intersect. And then I think it's related to the literature where transformers is like kind of struggling on these like two hop composition tasks. So that one just didn't train if alone. So yeah. So different generation processes create different geometries. Now we're gonna do something interesting, is we're gonna actually pre-train models again from scratch.
So this
Again,
is
yeah.
interesting. So this is what would Jacob Poole or Philip
Jacob.
Isola have to say about this? So they're like, hey, you train image data, you train text data, you look at the CKA, everything's the same as you scale up to more and more data. And you're like, oh no, this is like if you take something that's trivially the same, you take the same world. You just take these slightly different, posings of it. The CK is not looking that hot. Is that so? Do you think that your result is contradictory to the
Almost
Planck
as if
hypothesis?
you read the next slides, like that I'm gonna talk exactly about that. So great introductions. So now we're gonna start training on multiple tasks. So for example, if you train on distance plus triangle area, which individually gave these kind of stuff, you kind of get this nice pumpkin. And now if you train on the inside task and the perimeter task, you kind of get this other kind of pumpkin. You might convince yourself if you actually like scroll the 3D PCA around. And okay, like maybe not comparing by eyes, let's actually compute the CKA on these stuff. And what you get is this. So here, each row R column, the row is column, so it's trained on two tasks. DT means distance triangle area, ACO means angle compass, stuff like that. So the red triangles means that you have partial overlap. So these two have, for example, like triangle overlapping T. So, but I want you to not look at those ones with triangle because it's kind of expected that if you share some part of the data, half of your data, in fact, you might get similar representations. But what's interesting is that even if you don't share tasks, a task trained on distance triangle area and angle compass still has a higher CKA. These values are way higher than what we saw before here. So before we saw this, now we see values which are much higher. So yeah, so if you train on multitasks, even if your model doesn't actually share the data, so if you share the data, I think it's kind of expected. If you don't share the data, even if you don't share the data, it starts kind of converging. And if you add more and more tasks, three tasks converge even more. And in fact, one thing interesting is that like earlier layers, so this one it's a hypothesis I'm working with on Andrew Lee, a postdoc at Harvard, is that like models representations forms at the end layers and then propagate kind of backwards into the earlier layers. You can kind of see that if you train on more and more tasks, you can detect this kind of representational CKA going up even in the lower layers. And this almost like, as you said, directly points towards like the Platonic representation hypothesis. In their paper, exactly, they have this hypothesis in there. Maybe this is because maybe the reason representations converge is if you do large scale training on a bunch of data, you out of the representation space, there's only a few representations which solves different tasks. So you're kind of converging there. This is kind of a synthetic like example where, at least in the synthetic data, it seems like we're seeing something like that. So yeah. So, and then I did this thing where, which will nicely go to the next kind of chapter, but you can train on all seven tasks. So this is just performance. There's some are accuracy, some are absolute error, they perform. And if you take seven tasks and take the PCA, you're not doing any linear probes. You can already like see the world in the PCA. So there's something interesting here where compare, so these are single task PCAs. So even in single task, you're able to read out linearly the world. But here, like, you can actually just see it in the PCA right away without training any probes. So multitask learning, in fact, enforces this, like, the magnitude of this linear representation of your world somehow. And I'm sure that is related to, like, the multitask CKA going up, I'm sure. So kind of the first pre-training stage findings are, like, world representations emerge. And then if you train on different processes, you get different representations. But if you're training, start training on more than one task, your representations actually start converging. So that's what we find. And then one other thing we find is that, like, if you start training on many tasks, like, the magnitude of this representation gets bigger and bigger, and you almost see the linear subspace right in the PCA some as you, if you train on many tasks. Any questions before I go on to the next part?
Yeah. So the assumption on this last point is that kind of like if you have multiple tasks, the way for representations to effectively encode this information that is can be reused across tasks is linearly, right?
Yes, I think here, I think there's definitely something about you need to have strong representations with high magnitude linear readout if you have multiple tasks which wants to read out from that representation. I think that is the picture I'm thinking about. I don't exactly know why this is happening.
Could you go back to the slide where you were showing single task?
Single tasks,
Yeah.
like this one.
This, yeah, the CKA one. So here, just trying to understand here. So the linear probe is able to separate out the cities.
Oh, sorry. So the CKA, the linear probe is just a linear, best linear projection of the XY coordinates of cities. And the CKA doesn't know about the linear probe. It's just you take the representations, you compute the raw distance.
Both of them are on the fifth layer.
Most of them under on the fifth layer, yeah.
So, okay. So the linear probe is able to separate the data, which able to separate the cities.
Yep.
But the CKA is showing that the representations are not similar to each other.
Yeah, so CKA is actually magnitude dependent. So if you have like a bunch of representation, for example, okay, say you have like your mobile internal space is 4K dimensions, and then like 3,998 dimensions are high magnitude and random, and you have two dimensions where your coordinates are perfectly linearly represented, then you can actually read out perfectly linearly, but your CKA will be terrible because,
Oh,
yeah. So CKA doesn't actually know about what is the relevant subspace here. So CKA just computes like the raw distance between like representations. And then the linear probe, even if the CKA is very bad, you can still probably read it out because you are actually like finding for what is the right dimensions.
and if you take the CK of those dimensions.
If you take the CKA of the linear probe dimensions. So I think that you're forcing it to converge because you'll be taking CKA on two dimensions vectors, which you force to converge to a map. So I think, yeah, I think you're kind of optimizing towards high CKA. So
Yeah, I think my main confusion on why are we seeing different like difference in the representation similarity
oh, yeah, I
and
think
separation as well. So we are seeing the separation as well as the
separation. Separation.
separation in the sense separation of cities.
Oh, here, yeah.
The second
Oh, the
row.
second line. Oh, the second line,
Yeah, you
yeah.
can separate the continents.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't. But the similar, like the representation similarity is not that high. That means the same kind of
So
set.
it is not that low. It is not that low. And so actually, so I think the right row to stare at when you look at CKA is a PCA plot because these are the highest magnitude directions in the representations, which will affect the CKA the most. So they are not that low, so that because you can stare at these like clusters, at least like in everything, they're kind of clustered together. So the distance matrix will be roughly similar. But then even if you're able to separate here, if the magnitudes of these directions are not that big, it won't affect the CKA that much, even if you get the same map out here.
Or so CR is not on the left side.
Yeah, so that one didn't tr CR is not in the oh, it's not here, yeah. And also like I think I missed two other tasks because I had to put it in the paper. Like, yeah.
When you say magnitude
Yep.
dependent, so would it be accurate to say the linear probe is asking whether the information that you care about is present? But CKA is asking about whether the dominant information is the same. And those are
Yes.
the dots.
Yes. Makes sense.
So you said CR, the CR task, presumably because it has to like learn multiple
Yeah, some
certain.
two-hop reasoning stuff, I think.
So when you do multitask, it definitely does get
Oh
better.
yeah. As soon as you add any task to it, the one of the tasks kind of makes you this nice word representations, and then it uses it. Well,
So once you have
I think that's the right way to,
the right representations, the task becomes easier or something like that.
yes, definitely.
Which implies like some curriculum
Some
learning
curriculum, yes,
types,
definitely.
tasks or something like that. Cool. Love it.
Boring question, but like you didn't like try to optimize it because the environment, right? Like you try to do it the similar kind of
Well,
setup.
I am optimizing.
I mean,
Oh,
like that was
sorry.
the hard part.
The CR
Yeah, just
task.
because of that.
Yeah, I tried hyperparameters. I think it's this two hop thing. There are these weird tasks which transformers just don't refuse to learn, like parity stuff. Like there are some tasks which are kind of like known to be annoying. Okay, we go to the fine tuning section now. Maybe I spoiled a little bit of content. Okay, so now we're gonna go to the second question. Why does fine tuning not trigger the right updates? So the reason I went to all this setup of like separating world and data generation process so that now we can intervene the world. I'm gonna add cities here. Atlantis, who knows the legend of Atlantis? That there are a bunch of cities, or maybe one big city, which is in the Atlantic Ocean, which like got submerged. So I'm gonna add Atlantis there. So now that's part of the world. It's been discovered. There are a bunch of cities there. Now that's part of the world. Okay. So, and now the world has an update. And now all these tasks here are actually defined consistently. The world change, you could have just generated the data on this right away. So you don't need to change any of this. And in fact, in the code, you don't actually need to touch that part at all. You just plug in the world and then the data comes out. The world changed. And now, how are you going to update this to the models? If you kind of think about how we update models in the real world, there's like a world change, it makes it into the news, it goes into the internet, it propagates information. You gather that and fine-tune your LLM, right? We're going to do the same thing here. We're going to curate some fine-tuning data where Atlantis is one of the two cities. It could be probabilistically both, but like we constrain the data so that it's like a rich fine-tuning data set, which always has Atlantis in one of the two cities. And then we're going to evaluate generalization because you're fine-tuning in like a few handful of cities, in reality, like 100. If you And deep learning needs data diversity. So I'm being very friendly to deep learning because like I could have done the thing where I give 100 cities and then if I expect perfect modeling of world, I could do the thing where I give it just enough information to triangulate out the city. But I'm gonna be more friendly to deep learning and I'm gonna create a big data set of like a bunch of cities interacting with each other. And but then I'm gonna ask deep learning to generalize. To generalize to other evaluations. So, if you have integrated this new city correctly in your representation, can you generalize it to other tasks? I only trained you on distance. If you know what a city is, if you have learned through all this training what a task is and then what cities are, by fine tuning on this, you should be integrating this new concept, this new entity into the right place and then generalizing on other evaluations. And then I'm gonna ask on like downstream tasks. And I'm also going to be friendly to deep learning again here because the model never sees the combination of Compass and this Atlantis city. So I'm going to add a small, like, what is it, elicitation buffer, which is like, I'm going to elicit the model a little bit to say that this Compass task can go with Atlantis. Okay. So I'm doing like things friendly for deep learning. So, and what I'm going to show is I'm going to show normalized improvement where zero means Atlantis scores as bad as before fine-tuning. So before fine-tuning, so these again are not new tokens. So that's an important part which actually makes more knowledge to real language model. These are not new tokens. These are just like different combinations unseen, the ID is. Atlantis, so you can score actually Atlantis before fine-tuning. And the score is of course bad. So I'm going to normalize whatever kind of score I get by zero being as bad as before applying any fine-tuning. And one, as Atlantis is indistinguishable from any pre-trained city. So here's what happens. So each row is a model where I fine-tune Atlantis in using some data generation process. And each column here is the evaluation of how it performs. So some tasks, like the angle task, generalizes very well. So the diagonal has a small t on it because it's trained in distribution generalization. And what you see is that some tasks generalizes pretty well. And then there are some tasks we can kind of understand because it submits less information. Crossing task is just true false. Generalizes kind of generalizes to some cases, less to others. And then others, like its distance task, which is also a little bit CKA suspicious, actually is pretty bad at generalizing. Yes.
Quick question. The pre-trained model is trained on all the
Yes,
tasks.
the pre-trained model is trained on all seven tasks. And here the evaluation is only on Atlantis. So it's if you see one, it means that Atlantis is as good as like any pre-trained city. If you see zero, it means that Atlantis is as good as if you didn't do any fine-tuning.
So the best fine-tuning tasks are the ones that are green all the way across.
Yes, angle is the best one. You fine-tune on angle, you will automatically get 96% of the recovery on the compass task.
Gabriel, I think angles are better than distance.
Are you doing some, are you doing some geometry? Okay.
I may have missed this, but is there a comparison between how the free fine-tune model performed on a task versus like on stuff that's not related to Atlantis?
Oh, I see. Okay. There's like a small catastrophic forgetting that you can mitigate by adding like pre-training buffers. Yeah, it's not like something I focused on because like I think in reality to make it like correct, you need to solve all these catastrophic forgetting issues. You need to like put a huge buffer of not forgetting. It's yeah, stuff. Yeah. Okay. So this is it. This is kind of dirty, honestly. So what I'm gonna do is now I'm gonna directly jump to oh actually I'm gonna plot just show one thing which is not too significant. One thing which is interesting is that you can plot these different points by their CKA at pre-training stage. So this is a relation which I see, but I don't want to push too strongly. It's a weak relation. And what I see is that I think the CKA between, like the CKA values between tasks are weakly predictive of how well you can generalize. And I think what that kind of means is that, like, maybe that there is something intrinsic. As soon as you set, like, architecture and the data, maybe there is kind of a generalization kernel, which is kind of like set by setting that up. And then your model, like, that is fixed by your architecture and your task and still remains even though you did join pre-training.
Okay, but we state the hypothesis again,
The
please.
hypothesis is that you compute the CKA between models which are pre-trained only on like one task and another. So the CKA we saw during like the first chapter. You get those CKA values, that's your x-axis. Then you're arguing that tasks which didn't agree that much when individually pre-trained doesn't generalize well during fine-tuning as well. That's the hypothesis. And then we see a weak relation there, and which is pointing towards something, I think. So but here I think there's a lot of analysis to do to see like I think I'm trying to get through the mass. Is there a mathematical way to kind of get a kernel out here? Some gradient kernel unchanging kind of stuff. I don't know. So we see some relation here. This is a smoking gun. We're going to jump to two-task fine-tuning. So just as we did two-task pre-training, we can also do two-task fine-tuning. And again, I think the base model here is trained on all seven tasks on all pre-training cities. All cities without Atlantis is trained on all seven tasks. We're just using two tasks to fine-tune in Atlantis now. So this is dirty. I'm not even going to ask you to look at this and like say anything. Okay, this is hard. What we're going to do is we're going to set up this best teacher model. So what you can expect when you train on two fine-tuning tasks is I think a very reasonable assumption is you do as well as the better teacher is something you can expect. So here was the first like one task fine-tuning. And for example, say you're going to fine-tune your seven task model on the compass and insight task. You're going to use compass and insight to fine-tune in these Atlantis cities. And you're going to evaluate on crossing. So this hypothesis is saying that if this is true, if you're learning from your best teacher, you're saying that you can take the fine-tuned one on compass and insight, you go to the crossing column, you take those numbers 0.59 and 0.65, and you take the best teacher, better teacher. So basically crossing when fine-tuning on these two should perform 0.65. So this is I'm not doing any experiments. This is just a model I set up. So if you're fine-tuning, takes is as good as taking the better teacher of the two tasks. Okay. And I'm going to subtract that modal. I'm going to just get the deviation from that modal, which means that everything you're seeing here, if the pixels are blue, it means that you actually did better than your better two teachers. So somehow learning from two teachers managed to perform generalize better on the untrained task than learning from one teacher. And red means interference. Red means that training on this task actually harms. Training on two tasks, somehow they fought. The teachers didn't agree or something. So you actually got a degradation. You might have as well just not just removed one of the teachers. So that's what you're seeing in red. And in fact, you can see that all fine-tuning tasks, like involving the distance task, anything involving the distance task, you can see that you like this red row, which means that whenever you involve the distance task, it harms your fine-tuning. It harms. It's not just that distance doesn't contribute enough. It actually harms. Okay.
Let's see output of this stuff because like
Yeah, so distance is like you say DIST, you put in city one, city two, it outputs you the distance between those two cities.
it's like a range.
No, the task is trained autoregressively to predict exactly the output. Kilometers, yeah. So it's like zeros, for example, 385. So yeah, that's the task. Okay. So you actually find that there are some of these tasks where it actually shows interference. And actually, whenever the distance task is involved, it sabotages like multitask fine-tuning. So it actually like harms. It harms you. Any questions here?
Is the distance the one that is by far the hardest to de-tokenize? Because like,
E-tokenize.
yeah, because the numbers get kind of long, right?
Oh, there's this task called triangle area where the
Oh,
numbers get huge.
okay.
Yeah. If anything, like it might be the inverse where the distance is somewhat easy, especially within a transformer to compute. I don't know, some dot product something, I don't know. But then like there's an easier one, I think, which is Compass, which also involves only two cities. So yeah. So I'm actually like hunting for maybe there's more like divergent. I call these divergent tasks because they kind of don't like everyone else.
Of course, Chris's real question is why?
Yes.
Yes. Why the
Yes.
why?
I do not know, but
Okay, you say the next slide.
well, yeah.
This chart is showing the deviation from the max of the two individual performances, but for the distance rows, just out of curiosity, how does that compare to the performance of just the distance function?
So let's see. So this already means that it does worse because it's taking the maximum of only fine-tuning on distance and only fine-tuning on angle. And oh, I see what you mean.
Suggesting
Yeah.
you're doing worse than on the angle
Oh,
task,
okay, I see what you mean.
but you're doing better than fine-tuning just on distance. Like, is the DA there, or is it just D?
I think it could be doing very well because distance basically did zero on everything. So let's see. DA 0 to 18, 18, 8, 8.
Question.
Well, okay, I can't tell. Okay, I can tell from here, I guess. DA. So yeah, it just deviated negatively, but it did way better than distance, I think. Yeah, so okay, but I do not know why, but at least, maybe this is expected, at least I looked at the representations, what happens in there. So if you take a good, nicely agreeing two tasks, and now you ask the modal, you get a modal at the end, you do the same thing, you get the representation of, you put in Atlantis cities where they are, and of course, initially they start like randomly, they're distributed all around the globe. And if you take a modal where they kind of agreed, you see that the Atlantis cities actually integrate well. So here the probe is not trained on Atlantis. You can kind of see that the Atlantis is reconstructed kind of where they should be. If you take tasks where the divergent task was involved, your representations are just there. And I think that's like the data set mean of like all the representations. And basically your representations are just not integrated in the right place. We're gonna look at kind of us where this is the data, there's like a data manifold and you see Atlantis there. There. So you can see that if it's well integrated, it goes in well there. But if it's not well integrated, what happens is that it's floating outside of the data manifold there. It's somehow outside of the data manifold. So this is like pointing towards something at least, that divergent tests like actually disrupt representational integration. So they kind of like put them somewhere else. So this is it. And yeah, thank you very much. And actually, I did this fun thing where a lot of this code, like I directly supervise Cloud to like write the code. And then like I actually like managed to, I think I actually managed to make my research more rigorous because I reproduced the whole experiments 3 times from scratch, which is something I would never do before AI. So, but anyways, if you scan this like QR code, you can actually see the whole research process divided into like when I just like do raw work of coding, when there's a major pivot in the project, and then like when there's ideation and moments. So like you can have fun scanning this and staring at
Wait, what
this.
is that tool? So is this like
Yeah.
just a GitHub
No,
project or what is?
this is all custom. It's like I interact with AI. There's a logging system which logs all of that data
Oh, so you
into a,
created this logging system for
yeah,
yourself.
and
So you
then
vibe coded a Meta vibe coding interface for you to do vibe research.
no, the vibe coding
That's cool.
the vibe coding is just Cloud. I'm collecting all the logs so that one day I can fine-tune a model to replace myself. And
Oh, I got it.
yeah, but actually, like, okay, I mean, there's a whole lot of another talk maybe I should prepare about this, is because I really think continual learning is the next problem after looking at this,
No, I love it. I
because
love it.
there this is a lot. I realize that research is way, 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 way more than a model's context links. Like way, way more.
That's great.
Anyways, like scan this, it's gonna be pretty fun. And yeah, actually, I'm gonna show some of the, what is it? Can I? I'll show the whole screen and I'll share some of the, what is it? I'll just show these stuff where what happens in the PCA is that if you have a ill-integrated case, so here's the process of fine-tuning. Oh,
Have to
sorry.
restart your screen or something.
Oh, let's see.
Or
Okay. Oh no.
if you pull down
Wait, why does it?
if PowerPoint might be down owning the thing. If you stop PowerPoint
I
from
see.
refreshing
Okay.
that, it might free up the. Then you have to choose mirror access.
Oh, what is choose mirror? Should I just share or not?
Let's see here.
Oh.
Like up here. And then,
Oh, this.
yeah, this thing. Is there, see?
Do I remove it?
Yeah.
Choose content?
Yeah. And then the entire screen.
Entire screen.
Yeah.
Okay,
There we
great.
go.
Yeah, so this is the fine-tuning process, and if the if whatever is ill-integrated, if these new Atlantis stuff is ill-integrated, do you see that it, there's like a data manifold of cities and then it's like floating in the middle there? Unfortunately, this plotly doesn't respect what's in front. So here's Atlantis. It's like floating in the middle there.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
think it's sort of spherical.
Yeah, it's sort of spherical because the what is activation magnitudes are constrained by regularization. And here, if you see, you can see that when it's well integrated, it's kind of there where it should be. Like it's a, there's still a little bit of like difference between like the pre-trained cities, but it's kind of there. And if you try to like forcefully okay, this I think this one is the more interesting one. Okay, so here now you're trying to like forcefully, I don't care, get me the linear probe. Including some Atlantis cities are in the training data of the probe. And in the well-integrated case, you can actually train a probe, including Atlantis, in the probe training data, and then it's like right there, Atlantis. And but in the ill-integrated case, you can still say the same thing where, yeah, still give me the linear direction where Atlantis goes where it should go. And if you go to the XY coordinate, it's kind of there, Atlantis. It managed to put it there, right? Between like Europe and North America. If you look outside, it's like floating out there. So there's something wrong about these Atlantis representation. You try to train a probe on it, kind of like you have a lot of dimensions. You can find some dimension which kind of like projects it to the right thing, but then it clearly is causing like some problems in representation space.
You try just pushing them onto the
like yeah, no, I haven't tried that. That's is that profession of this lab? Like
representation surgery?
Yeah, surgery. That's a yeah.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. There, I don't know. I was like stuck with where do I push it? Do I push it at layers 3, 4, 5, all of them?
Oh.
If I, yeah. Yeah, I was like just like sitting. Should I do this? And then I was like, oh no, deadlines. Not that.
I'm wondering if the, yeah, the representations are causal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think
that's I think the implicit hypothesis, right?
Yes, 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 definitely. Yes. Yes. I think at the high level, like my biggest takeaway here is that even if you do everything friendly to deep learning, so here you created a world, you generate a diverse set of data, like a multitask data, you generate diverse, you train on a lot of these diverse data sets, you get like these nice representations which emerge even in the PCA. So my mental model was that obviously the network has this picture of your cities, former representations, and the task reads out from that nice representation space to perform stuff. And then even if you get this nice forward representations, I feel like, oh, backward pass can still be not that ideal, is kind of like what I take away. So, and maybe there's some learning rate which magically enables, like maybe there's some gap in the loss landscape. You need to use a high learning rate so that it goes over some local minimum or something, but that's in high dimension hyperparameter space, so. Yep.
I feel like I know the answer to this, but I just want to ask anyways. Did you do any training where the loss was geometrically inspired? Like where it wasn't just like how it was right or wrong?
No, no. Yeah, I intentionally stuck to the LLM paradigm. Yeah. Yep.
Do you try like integrating a new function, like finding a new function afterwards? So like you had like...
Oh. Yeah, because I can do the inverse where I don't fine tune in new entities but a new function.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't do that. Like I had that in mind. I didn't do that. I'm also interested in like functions which are one stochastic, like random walk within some distance, or functions, I think even harder. I think there's a lot of challenges awaiting if the model does everything ideally. There's like a lot of goalposts moving to do where like you can ask for stuff like circular stuff, like count the number of like cities in a nearby circle. And that actually changes if you integrate new entities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually more like the questions we see in real life, where there's like a new event happening in the world. It doesn't affect this one thing, it affects a bunch of different stuff in your life. So yeah.
Do you think this can connect to are you aware of like the causal representation learning literature?
A little bit.
Like it's a little, they also care about disentanglement and learning the right latent variables and stuff. They have their own like conditions of when that happens.
Oh, cool.
I
should read
it
that.
Kind of might relate to this multitask setting.
I see. Yeah, I should read that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I should read that. No, I don't know that much. Yep.
Wondering if you know this OA Nevis paper where they, do you know what I'm talking about already?
Maybe if it's a famous one, I think I do.
So what they do is they like take an LLM.
Yeah. Owl.
They give it a new token.
Oh.
And this is like token ID, you know, 5201.
Yeah.
The new token randomly initialized. And then they pretend that this new token is some city. Let's say Paris. Like,
oh, I know this one. Out of context, yes.
Yeah, the out of context reasoning. And then, but if I remember correctly, they train on distance examples. So this token is the distance from this token to Dubai.
Yep.
And then they give it the distance from Paris to Dubai. And they do this with a bunch of cities.
Yes.
And then to test generalization, they say, Bob lives in blah.
Yep.
Tonight they're eating. And then it'll say baguette
because the model has sort of like this
token represents Paris.
Yes.
I'm wondering, like, it seems like from your work, the distance might not generalize so well, but
yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering how
does yeah,
that
so, So I'm sure like large language models, how they represent distance must be very different. Here, I think they're implementing something more direct because they're almost given direct supervision for the distance task. I'm sure the circuit is much simpler here than in language models. Second thing is I do think that like fine-tuning new tokens and fine-tuning existing concept using current tokens are actually pretty different in optimization space is one thing. But I think at the like L level, I think in generality, even here, like we're seeing that most things actually generalize pretty well. Most things generalize pretty positively once you satisfy all the things deep learning, like data diversity, like elicitation buffer. Once you like satisfies all of the stuff deep learning likes, then generally things. And then in fact, in that paper, I think they have like 1 million rows of data where they do that. They have a lot of like data. And then I think in general, deep learning generalizes pretty well. I'm kind of showing that there's these very like sharp bugs sometimes. So I think, yeah, I think the same, like, definitely in general, things work. Yeah.
Could you say more about this distinct or intuition that you have about like new tokens versus existing
Yeah, so
tokens?
when you do a new token, like, you're basically initializing a new embedding vector, and then that I'm sure the loss landscape looks different because if you're optimizing like this new vector, it just must look different from optimizing the weights of the model, which process already a bunch of tokens which have like embeddings which support many different tasks, which
Definition
are, yeah, I'm sure
optimizing
are
the
strongly optimized.
embedding space rather than
Yes, you're
trying to
optimizing.
optimize the space.
Yes, exactly. It's a different, and yes, and then I'm sure dynamics are a little bit different. So, not sure exactly how, but.
I think maybe like model could do something like look at like for this ID, it could have a MLP neuron that's like only lights up on that ID, and then it could effectively write a custom embedding just for that ID or something like this, that they would be roughly equivalent, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, could be.
So I have two questions which might actually be related. Did you look into early layers? What are they encoding? What are they representing?
Early, yeah.
And the second question is, so I think one of the slides you showed that the performance of ICL was better than the fine-tuning one. So the reason for that, I don't think so. I got that.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
Yeah.
great questions. Early layers representations don't move that much in general. So don't move that much in general. And one thing is the structure, even if you train for a while, the later layers, layer like 6, 5, 4, gets this word representation structure in some form or the other very quickly. Layer 3 is very slow, and I'm sure layer 2 will at least start showing representations after layer 3 is already very good. So I think basically never here because, and layer 3 is very slow. And I don't know why, actually. I don't know why. I discussed this with a few friends at Harvard. We actually think that maybe this should be fixed. I don't know. And about the second question, yeah. So here, basically, there's no ICL. And in fact, like one of the most promising things I think to do is in fact introduce ICL here. And by that I means like define some cities which are only given an inference time, which there's no pre-training information on. You define a city in context using some specification, and then the model needs to perform something about that city and then the pre-trained cities, or between even in context cities. And if we see the nice amount of like generalization we see in large language models, which generalize much better in context compared to fine-tuning, I think that kind of like can lead a way of like presenting the same information in context and gradient descent somehow, like one generalized much better than the other. Why? So, yeah, and indeed, there's no experiments about in context learning here, but yeah.
So that would be like another setting case study.
Yes, I think it's gonna be. I think the world can be maintained. The world can be maintained. I think you just need to define in context cities,
Yeah.
which only appear during the data generation process in context, and there's no pre-training information, yeah,
Okay.
which means like inconsistent across rows or something, yeah, not the same city across different rows. That means in context, so
Okay.
yeah. Yes.
The distance, the divergent task that made the Atlantis come out
Yes.
CA. And do you have any intuition around like why that task in particular? Did it seem to like
Yes,
particular ones?
I'm suspecting towards it's too easy. I'm suspecting towards it's too easy. The model can just represent things, do a dot product that can read out. Not sure why easy would mean anything like divergent in during fine-tuning. So yeah, I don't know.
Did you have like any stopping criteria for the fine tuning, or did you just do like, okay, I create my data set using my pipeline, I use the same parameters as green training. Like did that.
Yeah, the fine-tuning is like I did a small learning rate sweep, but that's all. Yeah, I did a learning rate sweep where I started with like 1/10 of the learning rate, then did like perturb it 3 times more, 3 times less. So it didn't do anything special. Maybe I should use a crazy high learning rate and things will change. Oh, and by the way, of course, like if this distance task is if Atlantis is of course included in the pre-trained data, then everything works nicely. Yeah. So it's really something about optimization there, because if you have this data scattered in your pre-trained data, things totally work. Yeah, but because in fact, actually, I say fine-tuning, but actually there's more Atlantis. Atlantis is actually overrepresented. If you look at the pre-training set plus this fine-tuning set, it's like compared to the number of cities, it's actually overrepresented, which means that if you actually mix everything, it behaves all fine. And it actually does. That's it. There's, yeah, this is. Well, you can see that the geometry isn't that special. Like, there's no reason. Neural networks will just hate that. So,
For a training task overall, like let's say that you are doing the distance task and that you have two distances, like you have your target distance that is going to be like a 4-digit number, right?
okay.
And maybe like 1111, right? And your actual distance that get predicted by the model is like 19111, right? Which is like 800 kilometers away. Do you penalize one token?
So,
Like it's kind of like you got three right, one wrong, or does it get 8,000 as the signal for like, oh, you got it 8,000 wrong?
it gets one wrong. It's cross entropy loss, just
Right,
like
right.
language. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, it's not actual geometric loss.
Yeah, but
Yeah.
that's interesting, right?
Yeah.
Because it would be like intuitively, actually, if you're measuring distance, that would be actually a huge error, right? To get the first one wrong rather than the last one.
Yes, exactly. Yes. I think loss functions being, yeah, totally. It is a setup where like the loss function isn't aligned towards the metric, but then the metric actually behaves fine. The distance goes down. Yeah, well.
But all of your tests are set up that way, so it's not like the thing that explains why distance
Yes,
is so
all the
close.
tests are set up that way. That would make a difference if you're doing something like
Now,
RL, but yeah.
your linear probe readout is not set up that way. That's the linear when you.
The linear probe, yes, the linear probe is actually linear regression towards the values.
So it penalizes 8,000 a lot more.
Yes, except that linear probes are just trained on XY coordinates, but
Right.
yeah. But though, yeah, those are actual coordinates, actual numbers. Yeah.
Did you play with model size?
Yes, but I didn't find anything.
So it was big enough.
Not, yeah, I didn't try crazy model sizes. It was
Yeah.
just like 128 hidden dimension 6 layers. Can we go this way? Yeah.
So I'll start. Okay. The plot that you have behind the Zoom screen is if
Oh, you can share a screen so that people can see this.
Oh,
If I don't know if anybody.
questions?
Oh, yeah, you're not sharing anymore.
I guess I'm not sharing anything right now. Okay. Should I share something?
There's some questions in the chat.
Oh, okay, I see. I'll share this for nice visual there. Okay, I'll answer this question after your question and then go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is when the distance doesn't work.
Yes, this distance is included in the fine-tuning tasks. Yes.
Right. So for a single fine-tuning task where everything worked really well, is it compass
A
task?
single fine-tuning task where
Like
everything will work.
it
Yeah.
generalized pretty well for all.
Anything which doesn't involve distance generalizes reasonably at first task. There's that 30 matrix. And then as soon as you have two tasks, they generalize very well.
So if you look at their representations,
Yep.
it would be perfectly fitting into the Atlantis
Yes,
would be.
yes. So that's actually like precisely here.
Oh no, but this is a
Oh,
dual
wait.
task.
Sorry.
This is a dual
This
multi-task.
is two tasks,
Yeah,
yeah.
if I'm not.
Oh, even if one, yeah, they fit in pretty well. Yeah, they fit in pretty well. Even like, for example, the angle, which did really well, they fit in almost as good as like the other like two task fine tuning ones.
I see. So is the distance observation something you pinpoint to say that there's brittleness in fine tuning?
Yes. It's something specific about this distance task, and I'm hunting for more tasks.
I see. So like you can say it depends on what it is that you're fine tuning that would help.
What task?
What task it is that you're fine tuning. Even
Yes,
like
yes.
just to like project it to language models
Yes, yes, yes.
to in include a
It,
new.
exactly. It's going to be so basically what this says is that it's going to be terrible if like you have new news about some stuff in the real world, some new concept, and it's going to be terrible if there's just like some things in the data that your model hates and actually doesn't integrate like your concept well to whatever else the model's old model has. So, yeah. And yeah, in real life, probably it's hiding somewhere, but yeah.
So it's
Yeah.
my question is it's not the fact itself, it's the sort of data that represents the fact that might cause the brittleness.
Yes, exactly. So there's nothing inconsistent about the distance at all. Yeah, it's something about like, yeah, something about the time. Is the first PCAs you're showing calculated across all
Sheridan, do you
tasks?
want to ask your question verbally? Sheridan, are you there?
Do we have any mic on here though?
Oh, I
Oh, I
think
guess I must
Sheridan.
have my mic on. Okay,
Maybe
maybe.
Sheridan answered
Is your volume up?
Oh, wait. Is the first PCAs you're showing calculated across all tasks? And the second slide has, this is like from
Oh,
like
yeah.
the pre-trained experiment, right? For each task separately. Or wait, these are all sep oh, these are all separate models. Yeah. These are all separate models. Question? Yeah, I had this. I didn't manage to run the whole suite of experiments because it's a lot, like, but I yes, I also put something in the Pacific Ocean called Pacificus, and it did the same thing.
Question on the so you mentioned that this is some optimization thing probably because if you sprinkle things into the pre-training,
Then everything
but
goes
so
well.
your setup was like you have a pre-trained model where on the normal world data you're training on like seven tasks or like all the tasks, and then during fine-tuning for Atlantis you stick a bunch of new Atlantis points and then you're training on one task or two tasks. So when you say like you sprinkle into if you were to sprinkle it into the pre-training data it works fine. Does that mean if you sprinkle the Atlantis points just on the distance task,
Oh, I see. Okay,
but
yeah.
you have the rest of for the rest of the world you have all seven kind of views of data. Does that generalize well?
No, I didn't test that. Yeah, that should be tested.
What do
Yes.
you think?
Wait, can you repeat the question?
So, like the setup right now is you have like your
Yeah,
pre-training
that might not work. I don't know.
on all seven tasks on the like normal world, but after pre-training, you have only one task for the Atlantis points. So, one question is like if you sprinkle in that one task Atlantis view into the pre-training and just intersperse it into all the data, but you have still have those seven views of the rest of the world. Will that generalize better?
Okay.
I don't know. I think that might not work actually. Yeah, that's true. When I sprinkled it in, I sprinkled it in with all data as
All
well. So,
seven tasks.
yes.
So like specifically distance task, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If for like some subset of the data you only have one view of that data,
Yeah.
is it a pre-training versus fine-tuning
Yeah.
thing, or is it just actually limited to this like restriction of
Yeah,
one
great
view?
question. Should test that.
Task
Yeah.
population, just same task like X.
Oh, the data is different here, so in what Andy is suggesting, so I think it might make a difference,
Is
yeah.
Andy's data also different from the fine-tuning data?
Sorry?
Is Andy's data also different from the fine-tuning data?
No, it's the same.
Just take the
Yeah,
fine-tuning
just
data
take
and
the fine-tuning data.
sprinkle it.
Yes,
But like
just
in
yeah,
the
and
fine-tuning
yeah.
step, do you sprinkle in pre-training data like to prevent catastrophic forgetting type of
Oh,
stuff?
I do that, but I think the question is
Oh.
more about the Atlantis cities, whether they go well, not about the catastrophic forgetting, but yeah. So in the fine tuning, I definitely sprinkle the pre-training data in, but basically
That
like the
was my
inverse, yeah.
question. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait,
Yeah.
do I do that?
That was my question.
Oh,
That's
it was a new question. Okay,
no,
yeah.
that's done. We're done.
Okay, 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 okay.
So the fine tuning is like the pre-training that Andy wants, but not from random. You don't initialize with random, but with pre-trained model.
Right,
Yeah,
like post the representation format.
So this is kind of more like a loose, fluffy question about like your thoughts on the epistemological validity of like transferring like in our personal understandings of these results onto like the real world question of like, well, how do actual language models incorporate like new news about the world? And the reason why I see like a potential disconnect there is that when new events arise in the world, like yes, they like they're new and they're like out of distribution in that sense, but I don't see them as like totally exogenous in the way that this introduction of like, oh, there's just this entirely new undiscovered area called Atlantis in my world model. Like it's more just like I here's one way I would put it concretely is if you instead of creating like an entirely new region called Atlantis as the source of your fine-tuned data, if you drew your sim if you created your fake cities by matching their distribution to the original distribution of so if you just scattered your new cities so that they roughly match the distribution of the original data, what do you think the result
Oh,
would be?
that actually a reviewer asked for it. So that I actually did, and then it does the same thing of collapsing. So it's definitely something about like
So it's still bad.
because yeah, and that was very expected for me because like I don't think Atlantis really has anything special about the map. Like Australia is weirder. So so that I actually wasn't expected, but I like definitely see a point a disconnect with real world where in the well actually
I mean, that result actually is kind of enough to convince, but
I see well in the real world I just see a disconnect because of the scale of everything but like yeah but yeah
I don't know if I fully thought so. The tokens for Atlantis are like totally
not new
new, uninitialized.
no they're just like so these are like C1234 and there's like unused IDs like C2321
And with
and
that
that get
data,
assigned yeah
we're doing nothing.
we're doing
They're just like random embeddings in our embedding matrix that haven't been touched by
no the embeddings
Atlantis.
has been touched because
But
it's
it's
just
not
like
like
all the alphabet has been touched by language models but it's
yes.
just like inventing a new word
Right.
and that new word hasn't been touched so that multi-token combination hasn't been touched as a combination yeah.
Yeah. I guess I'm just wondering if like it's m getting mapped to some really weird spot
Yeah, it
in
gets
that
mapped all around the
it's
globe.
starting some crazy spot and it has to find its way all the way over to the manifold of
Yes,
the
yes.
and so I'm like if you like initialize it as like random like they're all clustered in some like average of all the
Yeah, they're clustered all
things.
around the. Actually, like, I think you can kind of just see it here. You can kind of inverse undo the fine tuning here. And they're kind of like just scattered. Here, like the like they're just like in the middle, all scattered there. Yeah, I don't know what the best I think this is the best angle, so they're kind of just like scattered there. Yeah, the color is
Is PCA all we need?
I don't think so. Actually, what is it? Is there some causal PCA? Give me the three most dimensions this task cares the most about.
I mean, you have like
Is that a
UMAP
thing?
or something like that that is non-linear, right? And that
Yeah.
prescribes distances that it could be
It's
maybe.
still all correlated, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want something like, okay,
That's
here's my task. Like, do something with gradients to give
subspace like
decompose the
like
do
that.
PCA of gradients or something.
Yeah, PCA of gradients
So would that work?
was
The top
was
like
I don't know if
top like
it's
in the
yeah, I don't know if it's the method or I don't know if it's me, but
Oh, it doesn't give you pretty stuff.
it was weird, but maybe it was me that I didn't try too hard. So maybe it could definitely be just
No,
me.
I've had trouble with analyzing
Yeah,
gradients
I
too,
had
so.
I'm not good friends with gradients at all.
What about averages of gradient?
Those sounds better.
Yeah.
Those sounds a little bit better. Yeah.
Wanted to extend on.
Sorry?
I want to extend on Steve's question. Yeah, it made sense to me. And I was thinking about how, like, for example, real data often doesn't just completely change. Like, the Eiffel Tower doesn't switch to Paris, but there's like little attribute updates. So, like, maybe like an analogy would be like continental drift. Like, Australia starts to, move a little bit. And, like, does the, maybe we did another measurement of like the locations a little bit. What happens if Australia moved like, a bit over?
I think that would work much better if you're, for example, like detaching Europe and then bring it slowly to America. I think that would work much better, especially if you do it slowly.
Just Greenland. Just Greenland.
Yeah. But then the real world has these updates, which are Yeah, but then the real world has these updates, which are actually, I think the real world updates can be pretty crazy in concept space. Like you get sometimes these news which are surprising, like wouldn't mention what, but like you sometimes get news which are just like, wait, what is going on in the world? Like,
That shouldn't be normal.
yeah, what's happening? Like, and these news is actually like cause like big updates into like people's like decision processes, which means that actually humans are able to process these very out of distribution stuff because they have a world model, which actually they have like a specific way they generalize. So,
Play
yeah. Yeah.
I have a question. When you were fine-tuning on the divergent task, was the performance on the other like cities impacted at all?
Yeah, they all are impacted a bit, but because of catastrophic forgetting, deep neural networks are just not nice about
Oh, like
catastrophic forgetting. I saw that like going away as I add more and more pre-training buffer, but decided that I'm not gonna solve catastrophic forgetting
But
for
like,
now.
did you mix
Yeah.
that between training with the divergent task and not training with the divergent task?
Oh, was it especially worse? No, it wasn't especially worse. It was kind of similar. The forgetting on the pre-training stuff.
This is a Llama model.
No, this is all from scratch.
Is this the
Oh,
Llama
wait.
architecture?
Oh. This was the Qwen architecture, actually. Qwen 2.
Probably could be same or similar.
Like, similar-ish, yeah. Rope embeddings. I think that's the thing which might matter. So, yeah, rope positional embeddings.
Well, thank you very much, Corey.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for
Okay,
joining us.
off to
Great.
Thanks, everybody
Hey.
online.